Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. This is an hour of mind power, and we've got a wonderful guest. And I want to give out our telephone number because you'll be able to call in later on if you so desire, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, so many of you have kids that are going to be getting ready for college, and so many of these children are so wonderfully talented in so many areas of sports activities. We're going to be talking this afternoon with Dion Wheeler, and his wonderful book is The Sports Scholarships Insider Guide, How to Get Money for College at Any Division. Dion, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Now, where are you located? Where are we talking to you from?
You're talking to me from Plainfield, Illinois, about 30 miles west of Chicago.
Plainfield, Illinois. Now, I want to let my audience know a little bit about you and your background. Athletic scholarships made a great deal of difference to you. That enabled you to go to college, and you really have found that education and athletics has been a very strong motivator for you. And you have been a coach. You've taught at every level of school, grade school, high school, and college. You've been involved with businesses. And you decided you were going to get involved with helping young people get into college via athletics. We have so many people that, young people that have got all of this wonderful talent, and their families just now are not in a position to afford sending them to college. Because of your background, is this the reason why it was so important to you that you write this book about sports scholarships?
Absolutely. That reason and another combined reason, and that combined reason was that the recruiting process is kind of confusing and complicated. And because of its confusion, because of its complication and the confusion that attends that, a lot of parents and prospects don't get the opportunities to receive athletic financial aid when they really could be receiving it because they don't understand how to make the process work for them. I wrote the book so that the guide could walk each prospect and their parents through each step of a successful recruiting process so that there won't be a step that they would take for which they're not prepared.
Now, there's a lot that goes on here. I have been surprised when I've been talking with various families in various social situations I find myself in, and parents are being told that if they have a youngster that's good in martial arts, baseball, basketball, football, of course, that seems like it'd be more in the high school area, but really parents are being advised, due to the cost of college, to look at making preparation as early as 10 years of age. Doesn't that seem a little bit ridiculous, starting that young?
Well, I certainly don't ascribe to that, but I must tell you that that is happening a lot. Now, many parents place their kids in as young as 10 and sometimes even younger into programs that are recreational in function, but they do have a sports-related activity to it. For instance, they'll put them into a soccer league mm-hmm. or a gymnastics program with the intent of having the kids have some healthy activity, keep them off the streets, so to speak, and get them interested in athletics and physical activity. Sometimes that progresses into more intense types of activities, and sometimes it just stays the way it is. But if a child is placed into a program at 10 years old for the purpose of developing a specific athletic skill with the follow-up intention that that skill be developed to the level that that will help them get the financial aid for athletic ability, I think that is a colossal error.
You mentioned how confusing the recruiting process is. And one of the poignant points that you brought out is that the process is not fair, that colleges are in the business of doing business. Explain that.
Well, colleges are businesses. They and they must receive sufficient funding so that they can follow through on their educational objectives and goals. And some of the funding comes from outside sources. We've heard of endowments and donations and such like that. But other the other funding comes from tuition and fees. And because that funding comes from tuition and fees, the schools have to create situations where they can entice and encourage kids to come to that school. Providing athletic financial aid or athletic aid for financial ability is one of the strategies that the schools use to bring the student in. They will offer them a certain amount of athletic financial aid, and then the student parents pay the rest of the freight, as it's called, and that by encouraging them through the athletic financial aid, that student comes in and helps pay the school so that institution remains solvent.
Now, one of the facts that you give, and this was just absolutely mind-boggling to me, is that there's $90 billion available in financial aid for students. And this was in the school year 2002 to 2003. And they say that, according to what you have in your book, that the new numbers from the Department of Education project that was done, that overall financial students aid to students will be more than $73 billion. I mean, we're talking about astronomical numbers here.
I don't even understand what that number means, but that is what the research shows. And of that $73 billion, over $1 billion every year is awarded in athletic financial aid.
Incredible. Well, I know that this understanding was utilized by a very, very special family that I've known for years, and their daughter is very talented in basketball and volleyball. And she was able to find a school that accepted her, and fortunately, because her family could not afford to pay the college tuition, having something on the order of like your book, which for those of you who are listening, this is Sports Scholarships Insider's Guide, Getting Money for College at Any Division, they were able to utilize information so that she had the opportunity to apply, and they don't have those costs. And it really was quite an education for them. Now, if someone wanted to do this, let's say you had a youngster that's going into high school, maybe in junior high, they've showed specific talents, they really have a love for a sport, you're very involved with them, and they're good in basketball, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
How do you start preparing for the recruitment process? Because this is going to take some time.
Yes, it will. And the first thing that, and it's an excellent question, Donna, and because I think this is the kind of thing that most parents want to know, where do I start? The first place that you go is to your high school guidance counselor. Let the guidance counselor know that the student that's coming in is interested in athletics and would like to, if their athletic ability continues to develop, to win an athletic scholarship on the college level. Now, the reason that you go to the high school guidance counselor is this. The NCAA has specific rules about academic qualifications to be able to compete at the NCAA Division I and Division II level. The student athlete in high school must take what is called the core curriculum courses. At this point, there are 14 of them. Next year, there will be 15 of them. And the student must take all of these core curriculum courses, mathematics, science, English, history, and so on, and they must receive a C or better in these courses. If they do not, then the NCAA will disallow the student athlete from participating in athletics the first year that they are in school. the guidance counselor then, knowing that the student athlete wants to go on to college as an athlete, will make sure that the student is taking those courses as they matriculate through their high school years, and that when the clearinghouse gets the transcript from the high school, as they investigate it and evaluate it, they will find that they can certify that student athlete for competition. That's the first thing you do. The second thing you do is you go to the high school coach and indicate to the high school coach that, once again, that student athlete has a desire, if that athlete's skills continue to develop, to be able to participate and continue their career as an athlete on the college level with the intention of winning financial aid for athletic ability. Those are the first two steps. Now, the third step is, and this is also important, is that the student athlete and the parents begin to investigate colleges. That is a very simple thing to do. Every single college in this country has a website, and they have so much information. It's almost like too much information. But you can go on those websites and research the schools and begin to look for athletic programs and academic programs that fit that student athlete's desires and goals and objectives.
I know the young person that we are familiar with, her objective was music, and she wanted to get into an educational program that was very strongly in the arts and music because she's very talented in that as well. And she was fortunate enough to be able to be accepted at a school, and competition is stiff. And there were over 6,000 students that applied to this school, and she was one of 600. Accepted.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot to be said. You have a quote in here. It's important to remember as you proceed towards the future, the only place that cheese is free is in a mousetrap. You know, that's a lesson I think most of the adults in the world are pretty much aware of. But a young person coming up, that's a difficult thing for them to recognize. And so often we are wanting to be very protective with our children. We want to insulate them. We want them to know that they're loved and they're cared for. But when it comes to the disciplinary preparation of going to college, there is a lot that has to be paid attention to. And I'm so glad to hear that education is being emphasized in athletics, because I've heard so many stories and have known of different people that knew athletes that couldn't even read.
That's true, and fortunately, those kinds of stories are becoming stories that come from the distant past, although from time to time you will hear about situations where athletes come into a program recruited by a coach who sees his only responsibility as winning, having a winning program, winning games, and that their responsibility is not to graduate athletes. And the president of the NCAA very recently at a very large meeting of the NCAA lamented the fact that he had talked with a coach who told him that my job is to win games, not to graduate student athletes. And so you see a real conflict there. But to the NCAA's everlasting credit, that they began the clearinghouse, which evaluates and investigates the transcripts of these high school student athletes who desire to continue their careers in college, that they evaluate those to make sure that these kids can be successful not only on the field of competition, but they can be successful in the classroom as well.
Well, I like a statement you have in your book, and for those of you listening, I'm speaking with Dion Wheeler. He is a coach. He has retired at this time, but he's put his heart and soul into this book, The Sports Scholarships Insider's Guide, Getting Money for College at Any Division, where he gives tremendous amounts of information for those of you that may have young people that are gifted this way. It's such an opportunity for them that really should be explored. The authentic value of a college athletic scholarship is the opportunity it provides its recipient to prepare for a future of success and fulfillment by acquiring a college education. That's something you stress so much. I mean, you have a deep passion and love for sports, but you value the educational level. If a young person is listening to this at this time, why is that so important?
It's very simple. young people are going to do much more important things in their lives than compete in athletic contests. One of the values of athletics is that student athletes or young people are put in situations where they're under pressure, they have to make decisions instantly, they have to discipline themselves, they have to work together with teammates. All of these things are essential to being successful and fulfilled in the future as adults. But we have athletics that provide them these experiences where there's no real important things at stake other than winning or losing a game. So the truth, you know, the truth is that without the education, all of the success that one would have on the field of competition becomes irrelevant because you don't have the skills to be able to move along the way one would want to as an adult to make oneself successful and fulfilled because you don't have the underlying academic skills to do that.
Now, you have a statement in here that coaches are looking for prospects with inner motivation and mature responsibility, prospects who are self-starters because procrastination is championship stupid. Well, you know, whenever we watch any of our Olympic athletes, these people have dedicated their lives, their young lives, to becoming champions, and it takes tremendous discipline to accomplish that. And we all have a deep appreciation for them because this isn't something that just happens overnight. And anyone, as far as I'm concerned, that's in the Olympics is already a champion in my mind.
Absolutely.
Because of just what they've put into it. I'd like for you to share a story about a mother that you worked with, and it was for one of your clients. A Division III state university contacted this young man, and this was about football. They wanted him to come in to play football. And how did you work with this young man and his family, especially his mother? Because they weren't in a position financially to go for the college situation. They just weren't there. What did you do for them?
I'm going to tell you the story, but I have to go back to the Olympic thing. I recruited and coached two Olympic athletes. And one of them competed in Greece recently in the 400-meter hurdles. I thought that I understood what dedication and discipline was. This young lady embarrassed me with the level of discipline and commitment that she had that took her to the Olympics. It was awe-inspiring. And she gave me, Donna, infinitely more than I ever gave her. Now I'll tell you the story. And that's right. After what happened was, and this is one of the strategies that I identify in the book. This young man sent his profile out to a school that was not in his state, but it was a state university. And after they received the profile from the client, the university contacted him and asked him if he would come for a visit to discuss playing football at the school. Now it's a relatively small school. And it didn't have a very good, like I say, it was an unremarkable football program. And I encouraged this young fellow to visit because he might be able to start even as a freshman. And that was important to him. He had actually very mediocre grades and had a 17 on the ACT. And that wouldn't have allowed him to be able to attend a Division I or Division II program because of the clearinghouse rules that indicate that the student athlete had to have a better score than a 17 on the ACT. But it was a Division III program, which can set their own standards academically. He went on to that school for a visit. I called the school and had a catalog sent to him, and then he and his mother and I, we met before he went on the visit to that state. And it was no surprise to me and a shock to his mother and to him that according to the catalog, he was going to be required to pay out-of-state tuition to the tune of $1,965 each semester.
Mm.
These parents, this was a single mom, and she knew she couldn't afford that amount. And as a matter of fact, the prospect could only afford to go to school, you know, if there was a financial aid package that was nearly a full ride. It was a very, very poor family. The mom was obviously reluctant to spend the money to go on a two-day college visit, and she said, I can't afford it, and I don't know if he's going to have, you know, going to be offered the opportunity to be accepted. So I called the coach, and he knew that the prospect was on my service because he saw the profile that was sent, and he knew it was my service. And I shared with him the prospect's mother's reluctance and asked him if he would handle, that means that they would pay for the trip, that it would be an official visit, which means the school pays for the trip. And he agreed to make that visit, and frankly, I never spoke to him after that. I prepared the mom for the visit in the same manner that the book prepares anyone who buys the book. One of the chapters is called The Visit, and it literally tells you step by step how to prepare for the visit and what to do in the college visit. We especially focused on the out-of-state tuition, and during the interview with the coach, the mother expressed her inability to handle the cost of the prospect's education at that institution. The coach replied by asking her not to make any decision until he talked with the people in admissions and financial aid, which, by the way, at Division III is supposed to not happen, but it usually does. And he explained, this is the coach explaining to the mother and to the prospect, he explained to them that they couldn't, that he couldn't accompany them to the office because of those rules, but he was confident that her son would be offered a good package. When they were finished being presented the financial aid package, they would want to ask the financial aid officer to call him to come back. To their astonishment, and you'll be astonished too, they found that they were eligible for a full Pell Grant, a hefty academic award. Now, this is a kid, again, who had a 17 on the ACT, but they recognized through conversation with him that he was a very bright guy. He just had not taken his education seriously. So he got an academic award, a Stafford loan. He was Hispanic, so he received a minority diversity grant and a rather large leadership award, and they waived his out-of-state tuition. Oh, so his out-of-pocket expenses was $785 per semester.
That's incredible. And from what you say, he had a tough time the first year in college, but after that, he really took on his academics seriously and became a football hero and ended up graduating with honors.
Yes, he did. I mean, I'm so very proud of this kid, and now he is in the business world, and he is in retail with one of the larger retail chains in the country, and he is an assistant store manager. And he's just in his middle 30s.
Your stories are so heartwarming. And again, the book is The Sports Scholarships Insider's Guide, Getting Money for College at Any Division. I want to go back to the young woman that you said taught you some lessons. You were her coach. She ended up being in the Olympics in Greece. What did she teach you?
What she taught me was that when I thought that I understood what the real meaning of dedication was, what the real meaning of discipline was, I thought that I already understood that. I'd been coaching for years and years and years. I recruited this young lady out of one of the Eastern Baltic countries, Latvia, and she had been a relatively successful 400-meter hurdler and half-miler, 800-meter runner in Latvia. And that's what attracted me to her, and I called her father. Interestingly enough, is one of the he's a member of parliament in Latvia, and I talked with her father first, and he was very reluctant to have his daughter leave the country, you know, fly across that big pond and have her so far away from home. And so he and I had to have a couple of conversations, and he told me at that point that her goal is to go to the Olympics. A friend of hers had gone earlier, and she wanted to go, and was I prepared to coach her so that she could reach the Olympics? Well, I was confident that I could. And so I told him yes. To make a long story short, she came over. Within 2 weeks, I was watching this kid. I would give her a workout, and she would double the workout.
Oh, my.
Oh, it was just, I would say, okay, Yeva, that's enough. Coach, I still have something left. I need to do, I'm going to do a couple of more. And I, literally, Donna, I just had to get out of her way and let her do what she knew was required for her to burden herself, to push herself, to make herself better. So from the training point of view, I literally got out of her way. From the mechanics and from the technical aspects of hurdling, that's where I helped her become a much better hurdler. And I take no credit for it. The young lady went back to Latvia, spent another couple of months back there, and then went over to Greece and competed in the 400-meter hurdles. And I can't tell you how proud I am of her. And now she's back in Latvia, and we talk about once every other week on the phone. And just like the time has stood still, and we still have a great relationship.
That's incredible. As a coach, your life has been very rich with a lot of experiences. You really have a passion for young people because you want them to know that they can be participating in sports that they love, that they really care for, and also be about the business of preparing themselves for the mature part of their lives, for being able to get that education and being prepared to enter a world that is so competitive today. I want to mention again, the book is The Sports Scholarships Insider's Guide, Getting Money for College at Any Division. Dion Wheeler has been my guest. Dion, before we close the interview this afternoon, what would you like to leave my audience with in the way of a thought or insight?
Well, let me leave them with two things. Number one, I have a couple of extra books that if you have people in your audience who would like to call in and you can decide how you want to distribute them, I've got a couple of extra books that I would be happy to send out to a couple of your people in your audience.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
And the second thing is that for those people who have a high school kid who believes and they believe has the ability to contribute to one of the athletic programs of the thousands and thousands that are out there, that they should understand that if they know the recruiting process, they can help their kid get what they want and deserve. Because of a prospect and a parent's need or desire for an athletic scholarship, they instinctively understand that they're entering a game where only the opposition knows the rules. But if they use the strategies, the tools and devices in my book, they will know the rules as well. And when they know the rules, the level, the playing field becomes level, and they can help their kid get what they want and deserve.
Dion Wheeler has been my guest today. The Sports Scholarships Insider's Guide. We have two free books to give away. 877-876-5227 if you'd like to have a free copy. That's 877-876-5227, and we'll be glad to send a copy to you. Dion, it has been absolutely a delight having you as a guest this afternoon.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much, and I wish you a most enjoyable retirement because it sounds like it's not a very quiet one. You've got a lot of things going on still.
Sometimes my wife asks me, I thought you were retired. Where are you going now, or what are you doing? But it's a lot of fun being retired and making the choices without having the pressure to be at a certain place at a certain time.
Well, God bless. Have a wonderful life. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break, and we'll be back more with Mind Power. Don't you go away now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and chat. 877-876-5227 is the number, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Again, 877-876-5227. We also have two books that Dion Wheeler is very graciously offering to give away regarding sports scholarships. And these books are just absolutely awesome. So if you have a family or know of someone that has a young person that is going to be getting ready for college. They're in high school. They're starting to make preparations. This is a great book to have. So you can call the same number, 877-876-5227, and Don will take your information. He's the gentleman that's manning all the equipment that makes this programming possible. Now, I had someone ask me about my intuitive abilities and how they came to be developed. And there's always a fascination with the psychic area on so many levels from just about anybody anywhere in the world. And people are often surprised when they find that I will just need a name or an initial, and then I'm able to give them information without any other kind of feedback. Well, that is a discipline that I acquired many, many years ago. And I thought I would share this afternoon a little bit of that information with you. And again, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227. I did not know that I had, quote-unquote, psychic ability. That wasn't something that I was familiar with. Of course, we always heard stories when I was growing up about people that could tell fortunes and so on and so forth. But I wasn't really aware of it the way so many people are today. And it was not until I went through some very, very painful personal experiences in my own life where basically I hit the bottom of my own personal barrel. And so I was down there and nothing was looking too good. And I had a series of dream experiences that were very, very vivid to me. Dreams were the catalyst that started me on a road of self-education and self-exploration. And when I started doing this, there was really nobody around me that I could talk to about it, excepting a very, very close friend. And this friend of mine, she would listen to what I would express to her because I said, these dreams are so vivid and they are terrifying to me. I thought they were nightmares. And I said, they're not going away and I'm just absolutely frightened out of my wits. I wake up every morning and my heart's beating 1,000 miles an hour and I know I'm supposed to pay attention to something, but what is it? Well, you know how it goes. Somebody knows somebody. Well, as it turned out, she had a new sister-in-law whose name was Tiny. And Tiny, she had just started getting involved with a study area called metaphysics. And she had become involved with an organization called the Rosicrucians. And I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know anything about metaphysics. All of that was a new terminology to me. And she said, well, you know what? What you're telling me about, Donna, I just don't have a clue about. It's way over my head. But I know this neighbor. And she's a professional astrologer, and her name is Gloria. Well, I had the opportunity to chat with Gloria. I did not meet her. I talked with her on the phone first. And this woman, I can remember it was a real stormy night, and I was talking with her on the phone just absolutely quaking with fear because I just didn't know what I was getting into. Have any of you ever had that kind of an experience? Well, as it turned out, she was one of the most gracious people you could ever want to meet, and I said to her, and I can remember my words exactly, I said, Gloria, you do not know me. I am having these dreams. They are nightmares, and they are frightening me terribly. Can you help me? And she responded with this wonderfully warm voice saying, oh, of course I can. It's real easy. So she asked me to tell her my dream. Actually, I'd had a series of them, but I gave her one. And she then went and dissected the dream into segments. And she interpreted the dream for me. Within a very short period of time, she took me through the series of the dreams that I had experienced, dissecting them so that I could understand the symbolism. And she was educating me on something I had had absolutely no knowledge about before. So after this occurred, I was so surprised at how good I felt about it. I felt so relieved. It was absolutely wonderful. And everything she had expressed to me made sense. Well, she was my mentor for about a year and a half before she passed away. And it's because of her I ended up evolving into doing much of the counseling and the intuitive work that I do today, which I'm happy to share with you on the air. But it was a process. And part of my learning experience was being able to develop the discipline of sitting quietly, asking questions, and then allowing my mind to be the vehicle for the impressions and the pictures, feelings, smells. They were all, everything and anything that could affect the senses. I had to learn how to make it okay to get it, number one, and then number two, to be able to interpret it. And something that I learned a long time ago is that everyone's mind works differently. So if you are an individual and you're wanting to develop your own intuitive skills, you are aware that you have talents or you have abilities in certain areas, then this is something that deserves cultivation because it will empower you in so many ways of your life that you will just really be surprised. It gives you a rhythm, it gives you a balance that sometimes otherwise you might not appreciate or respect. But as you go through this training, as you go through this development, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. You're going to learn a lot about the way your mind works. You're going to learn a lot about your own emotions. And some of it's going to feel very, very confusing because many times it's not logical. So part of what the process is when you're developing your own intuitive ability is to have faith in yourself and recognize that your talents may be of a particular kind. They may not match somebody else's talents that you have experienced or been exposed to. And be willing and be ready to explore different venues to find out what feels comfortable with you. Sometimes you may even encounter an individual you don't particularly care for. You don't like what they do. Well, good. Then that means you've learned something about what you don't like. And so now what you want to do is to investigate yourself. I've had the good fortune of interacting with so many people of so many different levels of intuitive ability, education, training, from so many different walks of life. The one thing that I've learned is that there is no limit in the capacities of the mind. And there are so many areas you can explore, whether it's remote viewing, whether it is healing, whether it is becoming a writer that is going to use your own intuitive talents for subject matter that maybe you want to communicate about. It just applies in so many different ways on so many different levels of life. And one of the greatest gifts that it will give you is a sensitivity to your own environment and to the very things that you're living in right now and living with right now. And one of the greatest gifts that a person gave to me many years ago was a lesson, and of course I've been through many and I'm happy to share them with you, but this is one that I think is such an easy one to absorb. And that is, pay attention to nature. Nature has a wonderful way of teaching you different things. Nature has a way of imparting to you an understanding about how color has value, about how the animals have specific roles in life and play different perspectives, how the intuitive factor in nature is so valuable, and how there's so much with the seasons. Things flow, sometimes they don't flow. But everything does have a place in the overall scheme of life. And it's a mystery, and it's a wonder, and it's fascinating, and it creates an adventure for you that if you want to explore it, it will open up new horizons for you that you had never dreamed possible. If you're a creative person, it's going to intrigue you and just allow you to set yourself free from limitations maybe you've put upon yourself. If you're a logical person, it will intrigue and fascinate you because you will find levels of logic that will, well, just absolutely take you to places that you had never envisioned. So no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, developing of your own intuitive talents, of your own psychic gifts, will enrich your life in a very, very special way. I know how much it has enriched mine, and that's one of the joys of being able to broadcast, bringing the different people of different talents and sharing my talents with you. That is so very, very important. So if you'd like to chat with me, I'm here with you every day, 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a little bit of astrological information and some other good things. And if I have the time, well, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to fit it in, but I had promised that I would finish the recipe that I started yesterday, but I may have to save that for another time. Give me a buzz at 877-876-5227 if you would like to have a reading and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuition and insight. Donna Sebo here. We are going to be taking a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo, and this is an hour of Mind Power, and I said I would be sharing with you this afternoon a little bit of information. In fact, I'm going to give you three of the astrological signs, and this is for your summer horoscope. Now, this is coming up for June, July, and August. And I'm going to start out with Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. For the Aries, for the month of June, beginning June 4th, the stars are going to energize your love life, and a special man is going to see you in a new light, ladies. And cash is also going to flow in during the first 3 weeks, perhaps funding a brand new opportunity for you to perk up your wardrobe or do that special something that you've been planning on for a long time. And you may have some unexpected guests. Now, July, Mercury is going retrograde from the 4th to the 28th. That may make your month a bit topsy-turvy, with plans changing at a moment's notice. But that could include an impromptu vacation. And in August, well, your effort is going to pay off at work, as VIPs are going to sing your praises. More money is going to be flowing in all during that month, easing your financial discomfort if you're having any. And after August the 12th, for those of you that are looking for love, well, you're going to find it, apparently, in all the right places, because Venus is making a trine to your sign, and ruby is a color that is very good for you, that can energize you. Now, what if you're born under the sign of Taurus? Well, during the month of June, your self-confidence is going to soar, because it's going to encourage you to do what's best for you. Romance? Well, you've got good opportunities there. And after June 24th, expect an influx of cash to spend any way that you want. Now, in July, for those under the sign of Taurus, you need to be clear about what you want, because everything seems to be on your side. If you want something, you're likely to get what you desire. But you need to keep an eye on your money. You could find money slipping through some cracks that you're not paying attention to, so avoid a costly mistake and pay attention. Now, with August coming up, you are going to find you are going to really be in the mood to have company. You're going to want to host a party, and you also might find that you get an urge to redecorate or maybe invest in some real estate, so keep your eyes open. And then the third sign today is for Gemini. For the month of June, get ready, because you're going to be socially busy. Yes, you could be invited to a lot of parties, maybe even giving one, and you're going to have a lot of energy, a lot of vitality. You're going to enjoy your time outdoors and possibly a vacation in early June. And then in July, well, apparently you're going to have the Midas touch. You're going to find that you are going to really be on top of things financially. You Geminis are going to have an opportunity to make quite a bit of money and be able to invest, if you so desire, in a good long-term investment. And in August, well, expect to make a new friend close to home, because you are going to be very much more aware of the people around you and how they can make a difference in your life. And a beachside vacation could be the break that you need. So that's for three of the signs, and then I'll have three more for you these next few days until we finish the entire cycle of the zodiac. I wanted to share a procedure. Well, I don't know that it's a procedure. That's probably not the right way. It's a pattern, a habit pattern, that a particular gentleman has developed, and I think this is such a good thing to do. And it is all about a particular gentleman. His wife said her husband has the habit, after they've eaten dinner, to always ask for the manager of wherever they are having their meal. And the manager usually will always come over to the table and be very concerned. Normally, managers, when they're called over, they're expecting the worst, right? Well, what her husband does is a little bit different. He'll thank the manager for the wonderful meal they've enjoyed, compliment the waitress, and let the manager know all of the things that he was pleased with. And, of course, this just makes the manager's day. Wouldn't it make yours? Well, it certainly would. And her husband, she said, copied this from his father. And he has a habit, whenever he has something nice done for him, no matter who's done it, he expresses a note of appreciation to that person that has done it. Sometimes he writes a letter. Sometimes he just picks up the telephone and makes a call. And she found that this had a very profound influence on her son, because her son started mimicking his father. She had taken her son, and he was in his early teens, and they had gone out to eat. And as they were on their way out, her son said, "Excuse me, may I speak to the manager?" And he told the manager how much he had enjoyed the meal. And she responded in kind. And she thought, what a wonderful legacy this is to pass on to my son, to remember to compliment people and to remember to show appreciation. So this is a story about a dad who, because of his behavior, he was copied by his son. And this is going to be perpetuated. And what a wonderful gift to give to someone. So just keep that in mind as you're going about your day-to-day. Remember that your habits, if you have children, if you have family, your habits and what you do, they are paying attention to it. They do see what you do. And if you conduct yourself in a wonderful way and giving out that good information that is going to add building blocks to their life, it makes a great deal of difference. But you know what? It affects adults too. It really, really does. So you make a difference. And I just wanted to share that story because the mother that talked about this, she's from North Carolina. Her name is Jennifer. And I want to thank Jennifer for that wonderful story. And by the way, if you would like to send me a story, if you have a recipe, or if you have something special that you'd like to share, maybe it's about a particular psychic experience you have, just go ahead and email me. You can go into my website, DelphiInternational.com, or you can email me at Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and then I'll be glad to review the material and probably use it on the air. I get so many wonderful emails.
Donna, we have a call for you.
Oh, fabulous. Let's go to our caller. Welcome to the show, caller. Hello?
Hi, this is Elaine.
Hi, dear. I can just barely hear you. What's your first name or initial?
Elaine.
Elaine, and where are you calling from?
University Place.
All right. Now, is that in Washington?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Elaine, what I'm observing with you is that you're really under the gun. You are imposing a lot of pressure on yourself because you are wanting to make sure that you're staying on top of things. And there is a feeling that I'm getting in my midriff. It's as if I've got a corset on, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody's tightening it. And, of course, that is what I would describe as fear, apprehension. But I'd like for you to shift into another thought about that and shift it into anticipation. Instead of using the word fear, let me use anticipation. Because you realize that you're in the process of making a major breakthrough. And I think that this is so very, very important to you. Because right now, even though you are having to be very methodical about what you do and how you accomplish things, this is making a big difference. Now, I know we're almost out of time here, hon. Do you have a quick question for me?
Yes. I'm going to visit my daughter in London, and we're thinking of doing some traveling from there. And we were thinking of going to Croatia, and I wondered if you had any advice or saw anything.
Well, I think your trip is going to be really inspirational. I'd love to see you keep a diary on this. And I would say to you, keep a diary on your experiences and expect delays at the airport. There is something going on here where you might find flight delays. So go prepared with it. But do keep a diary and call me when you get back. Let me know the exciting adventures you have.
Okay, you don't see any problems?
Not major problems, no.
Okay, great.
Not at all there. You should have a fascinating trip, though.
Any advice?
Thank you for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Donna Sebo here. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time today, but we'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to be listening to Investing in Nanotechnology with Jack Oldrich. We'll talk to you then. Have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.